Welcome and thank you for listening in to our recorded service. Wherever you are today, I hope you're in good heart and I pray you'll be greatly encouraged as we sing God's praises, as we bring our needs to Him in prayer, and as we listen to His voice through the reading and preaching of His word. Today we're continuing our series in that most encouraging chapter in the whole Bible, Romans 8, and David Horrocks will be preaching for us later on. Well, our first song today reminds us of what we saw last week, that glorious proclamation that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. What good news for sinners like us as we trust in Jesus. Just see how the second verse of this song expresses it. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Amazing news. We have every reason to lift our voices in praise. Let's do that now in our first song. If we are trusting Jesus, God does not, will not, and cannot condemn us. That is wonderful news. And yet, we do still sin, and we do still feel guilty. So what should we do? Well, the song puts it very well. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. We need to look upward to Jesus, to our risen Saviour, to the one in whom our sin has been condemned, to the one through whom we are righteous in God's sight. So we're going to do that now as we confess our sins using the prayer printed on the sheet. And if there are particular sins on your conscience at the moment, why not bring them to mind? Well, let's look to our Saviour as we pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Father, we thank you that through Jesus you have taken away that condemnation, that you hold nothing against us, that we can draw near to you without fear and know your love and acceptance and welcome. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's a question for you. Can you think of things that you find difficult, so you often need to ask for help? Things you find difficult, so that you very often need to ask for help with them. You could press pause to ponder that or to talk to others. Well, I wonder what you came up with. Maybe it's tying your shoelaces. You find that very difficult. It's such a fiddle, so you ask someone to help you. Or maybe it's your maths homework. Or it's your spellings. Some words are so strange, aren't they? Or it's getting the lids off jars. Or it's reaching the top shelf in the cupboard. Or maybe it's something like filling in forms. They can be very complicated. Or it's sorting out your computer. All of us have things where we often need somebody's help. And you know, the Bible says that is true for everybody when it comes to our sin. We all need help. As our next song says, sin is too strong for me to conquer on my own. We cannot deal with our guilt and we can't change our hearts. But wonderfully, Jesus has done what was impossible for us. What a mighty, mighty Saviour he is. Let's sing to him now.
No one is good, no one is holy before God. I need someone to cleanse me. No one is pure, no one is righteous in your sight. I need someone to save me. But I'm so glad you died and rose again. For helpless sinners like me, what a mighty, mighty Savior you are. What a mighty, mighty Savior you are. You can wash away my sin. You can change my heart within. What a mighty, mighty Savior you are. Sin is too strong for me to conquer on my own. I need someone to help me. I am too weak. I cannot change my evil heart. I need someone to save me. I'm so glad you died and again. For helpless sinners like me, what a mighty, mighty Savior you are. What a mighty, mighty Savior you are. You can wash away my sin. You can change my heart within. What a mighty, mighty Savior. Savior you are. What a mighty, mighty Savior you are. What a mighty, mighty Savior you are. You can wash away my sin. You can change my heart within. What a mighty, mighty Savior.
Now we have a couple of birthdays in the church family. So Eliza was 5 on Friday. Eliza, I hope you had a fantastic day. And then Phoebe is going to be 10 this Wednesday. Phoebe, have a great birthday. Cards on their way to both of you. Well, we're now going to read part of Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's all about God's word. Now, you might remember last week we thought about how through the Holy Spirit, God writes his word on our hearts. He gives us the desire to obey and the strength to do so. Well, these verses express that heart desire to live according to his word. So let's say this psalm together. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Well, I'm now going to hand over to Michael, who will lead us in our prayers, and then Karen will bring our reading, and then David will preach.
I'm going to lead us in 4 prayers, including one for our mission partner this month, the Delhi Bible Institute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an encouraging annual meeting last Wednesday, and that we were able to look back with great thankfulness to the many ways in which you have kept us and blessed us, particularly over the last few months. We thank you for Mark and Craig serving us so well as wardens, and for Lionel's steady hand on the finances. And we do thank you that you have moved your people to give so that all our financial needs have been met. We pray for Kester Payne and John Richardson as they take on the responsibilities of church wardens, that you will equip them to serve joyfully and faithfully and diligently in this role. And we pray that many of us will be able to ease the burden of that responsibility by using our skills, time and energy to serve in practical ways. We thank you for Ruth Dand joining our PCC as secretary, and we pray that you will bless the new PCC with gospel unity, gospel purpose, and gospel priorities. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for the Delhi Bible Institute, giving great thanks for the annual Word Conference which was on this last week, with over 1,500 people able to join in through the online format. We pray that many pastors and church planters will have discovered new depths of your grace through this conference and will return to their ministry greatly encouraged through the teaching they heard. We pray too for the video sessions prepared in lieu of the expository preaching courses which usually take place in DBI's ashrams following the conference. We pray that these sessions will help those teaching the Bible to engage with particular scriptures and see how they can preach them faithfully and relevantly in their own situations. We pray that thousands of churches across North India will flourish under faithful preaching of your word. And we pray for your special protection on Isaac Shaw, the director of DBI, and his family as they isolate following contact with a confirmed COVID case. Lord, please care for them at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray for the USA following the presidential election. We are saddened that this is still causing controversy, so we pray that the true democratic will of the people will be upheld and not obstructed. If, as seems likely, Joe Biden is confirmed as the new president, we pray that all will graciously accept this result, and that Donald Trump will work to facilitate a smooth transition of presidential authority. We pray that you will give Joe Biden great wisdom and wise advisers as he takes on this great responsibility, and especially in regard to handling the coronavirus pandemic. In his leadership, may he seek your wisdom in prayer and through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for good news on progress of vaccines, especially as we continue to struggle to work out how best to manage the virus. Please continue to prosper the work of scientists and help our own government and governments around the world to prepare well to implement vaccination programs amidst all the practical difficulties and the difficult decisions about priorities for vaccination. We pray that poorer people and poorer countries will not just be left at the end of the queue. And finally, Lord, we pray for Rachel Osborne following her cycling accident last weekend. We pray that she will receive all the medical care she needs, and that you will ease her pain, heal her wounds, and speed her recovery. Please help Rachel and the family to trust in you and know your special care for them at this time. We ask this and all our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Today's reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that your Spirit, who inspired these words, is well able to help us to understand and to see the glory of the Lord Jesus in all that we have and all that we are in him. And so we pray that he would be at work in us now for Jesus' glory. Amen. Well, for sheer encouragement, I don't think there is another Bible chapter quite like Romans 8. And I know many listening will agree, getting to know others in the church family over the years, it's so clear that this is the chapter that has kept some going through some very difficult things. Indeed, it's the one that many go back to when times are hard, which, as Julian mentioned last week, is why we're back here for a few weeks now. We need encouraging, don't we? Most of us. In these lockdown days, and Romans 8 does that. And I hope you began to get a taste of that last week when we looked at verses 1 to 4 and saw at least two great truths. First, verse 1, if we're in Christ, there really is no longer any condemnation for our sin. Whatever we've done, whatever we may yet do, however bad those things may be, no condemnation at all if we're trusting Christ. Why? Well, not because God is kidding himself, those things haven't happened, or pretending they don't matter, but verse 3, because Jesus has taken all that right condemnation on himself. Every bit of it gone on him. So we're just not in trouble with God anymore at all. Isn't that good? Second thing we saw, verse 4, if we're in Christ by his Spirit, we really can start to live lives in which the righteous requirement of the law begins to be met. Those sins we have always been committed, I guess you know what they are for you, the ones we've never seemed to get free of, no matter how hard we've tried. In Christ, there is hope. Things really can begin to change. Isn't that good news too? And didn't that little introduction whet your appetite and make you want to read on? It stretches our minds though. Romans 8, doesn't it? We're looking at it with the lasers, the 11s to 14s, like we're going to be doing in our church small groups too. We were looking at verses 1 to 4 last Wednesday. How does Romans 8 compare to the stories in Matthew that we looked at in the first half of term, I ask them? Wordy and complicated, one laser said. And we know what they mean, don't we? It is rather, especially in these opening sections of the chapter. I've been poring over verses 1 to 11 this week, and I know it's good. I know it's here to make us smile, but it has also given me a bit of a headache at times. Why does Paul talk in so much complicated detail, some of us want to ask? Why does he say things in a way that means we have to work to understand them? But then hang on, we should think. Think how hard some of us are prepared to work to understand other things we care about too. Quadratic equations, German verb patterns, how to mix paints, music theory, coding, the inner workings of an AV system. Or think how hard we're prepared to work to try to understand a person we care about, a child in your class maybe, and the effort you go to try to work out how you can best get through to them. We've got no problem using our minds when we think something really matters. So why not here? As, yes, maybe the Lord does stretch our brains a bit, but only so he can widen our affections too. Not just grow our knowledge, but our sense of just how secure we are if we're trusting Jesus. What is now true? Who we now are if we're in his Son? We could sit and chew on last week's truths for hours, couldn't we? But Paul was just getting going. If we're trusting Jesus, there are so many more good things he's got for us to see too, including four more for us to think about today. And here's the first. If we're trusting Christ, we're living a new life. Even if it doesn't feel like it, maybe life is new. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. So there are two ways of living, that saying. You can see the contrast, can't you? Life according to the flesh, life according to the spirit. And therefore two kinds of people rubbing shoulders in this world. Those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the spirit. And only those two options, notice. It's unfashionably binary, this, isn't it? There's nothing in between. Flesh, spirit. That's not a physical, non-physical distinction Paul is making there. When Paul talks about flesh, he means the whole of our human nature, body, mind, spirit, whole thing, every bit of it, spoiled by sin and not what it was meant to be. In other words, he means the life we're all naturally living apart from Jesus, left to ourselves. Which, for all that it may feel good, at least some of the time, is actually a dreadful place to be. Can you see how Paul spells that out? Verses 7 and 8. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It's picking this unwinnable fight with our Maker. How dare he say we should worship him? It does not submit to God's law. I'm not having some ancient book tell me what to do. I'll find my own way, thank you. Nor can it do so, Paul goes on. So stuck in our rebellion against God and biased against him, we'll never come back into his ways on our own. So no surprise, verse 8, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And that is such a tragedy. Made by God, the Bible says, for his pleasure. But in our sin, utterly unable to do that thing that we were made to do. And there is only one outcome of that way of life, isn't there? Do you see there, verse 6? Death. Not just physical death, but death in all the terrible meaning of that word. Cutting ourselves off from the one who is life. Maybe looking alive for now, like a flower that's just been picked and still looks pretty good in the vase, but not for long. Headed for destruction in the end, just like we are too, heading deeper into the full horror of existing forever apart from God, all because in our sin we chose to cut ourselves off from him. That's life in the flesh. And don't be fooled, this is saying. Don't kid yourself. It is a dreadful place to be. But, verse 9, you, however... And isn't that one of the best howevers you have ever heard? A however that really makes your heart sing. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. Once living in the flesh, but come to Jesus, that's just not you anymore, this is saying. For you, the other way of life that Paul mentioned in verses 5 and 6 is true. The only other life there is, and the very best life of all. Life in the realm of God's spirit. Life in accordance with him. You see, life has changed, Paul is saying. Once at the mercy of the flesh, now in the realm of the spirit, if we're trusting Jesus. It may not feel very different when you turn to Jesus for the first time. Ask around. For some people it does. It feels very different in that moment. For others, not really, for quite a while. Or look at a group photo, a family, a class, a sports team, a school, a mix of Christians and non-Christians there. There's no obvious difference between them, is there? You couldn't pick the Christians out, probably. You head to the office, you head to the gym, you compare your experience to that of others who are there with you, and so much feels just the same, doesn't it? We don't instinctively know life is new, but that's why I need to spell this out in such detail, Paul says, because if you're in Christ, things really have changed and life is completely new. Well, how is it new? And that brings us to our second point. If you're in Christ, his spirit is living in you. The spirit of Christ himself is living in you. Whatever anyone else may say, Verse 9 couldn't be clearer, could it? If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So it's not just some elite, advanced group of Christians who have God's Spirit living in them. That can be a very popular idea, but it's not from the Bible. That is a lie. This says if you belong to Christ, you have his Spirit. You just do. The two always go together. Yeah, I know some of us are thinking, but that's basic Christianity, David, the Holy Spirit living within. Of course we know that's true. But hang on again, we need to think. How could a sentence like that ever just trip off our tongues? Think of yourself right now if you're trusting Christ. Do you see what this says? The Spirit of God himself, the third person of the Trinity, has taken up residence in you. Right now, couldn't be closer. God himself living in you. Not just at the other end of a Zoom call, or meeting us for an occasional socially distanced walk, or dropping by from time to time for a bit of personal care. Not even there alongside us in a spiritual support bubble, but even closer than that, actually setting up home within. The Spirit of Christ, Paul calls him, verse 9. So the same Spirit who for those 33 years lived in the Lord Jesus during his life on earth too. Think about that, helping the Lord Jesus live that life of such beauty and goodness. A life like that. And how glad to make his home in you. Right there in all the mess of our lives, the brokenness, our natural tendencies still to sin, and gradually beginning to straighten us out and make us more like Jesus too, which is why verse 10, Paul can talk about this in terms of Christ now living in us too. Bodies still headed for physical death, verse 10, but by the Spirit now enjoying real life, back in communion with God again. Which brings us to our next point too. If we're in Christ in the Spirit, we begin to care about new things. We care about new things. You see, previously, while we were still living according to the flesh, beginning of verse 5, our minds were set on the things of the flesh. They were focused on and driven by the things our sinful nature said mattered. Now, end of verse 5, living according to the Spirit. Minds set on the things of the Spirit. The things the Spirit tells us matter. In other words, suddenly beginning to be interested in things we were never interested in before and to care about things we never cared about before. The Bible, maybe. Before, why would anyone want to read that, let alone study it? Now, I've got to hear God's word, we think. In a Psalm 119 kind of way, we get that itchy feeling if a few days go by when we don't. We really want to understand what he's saying too. Or maybe it's feeling bad about a sin we've committed. Previously in the flesh, it didn't really bother us at all, only if we were caught maybe. But now, even if no one else knows what we've done, how could I, we think. So uncomfortable, aren't they, those moments of conviction? But don't be discouraged. They are a great sign, this is saying. It's the Spirit of Christ within beginning a fight back against sin that previously just had its way. Or maybe it's about a growing love for God's people. Look around the building on a Sunday when we're able to be together, scan those screens, a Zoom coffee. What are we? With the eyes of flesh, let's not kid ourselves. Not a very impressive sight. A bunch of weak, dysfunctional people rubbing one another up the wrong way. But now seen through the eyes of the Spirit, that's my family. We start to realise, slightly surprised maybe, just how much we're missing each other at the moment, longing for the day when we can properly be together again. So in Christ, helped by his Spirit, we begin to care about new things. And then finally, even more briefly, in Christ, a new hope for the future too. Such hope for the future too. Verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ, Jesus, from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Our bodies, we saw, verse 10, still heading for physical death, dying from the moment we were born. And don't we know that more and more as the years go by and we see the wrinkles and we feel the aches and the pains and gradually become aware of all sorts of other problems too? Each of these bodies of ours destined for the grave, just as on earth, that is where Jesus' body was headed to. But not to stay there. Just as Jesus' body didn't stay in the grave either. Because just as on that third day, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead into the glory of resurrection life beyond, so he will one day do the same for everyone else he's living into. Just as surely as the first crocus you see in spring, won't that be a good day, will be followed by so many more. Just as surely as carriages on a train follow where the engine goes, so we will follow the Lord Jesus, not just into the grave, but out the other side into all the glory of the true life we were made for on the other side. Do you ever imagine what that will be like? You, me, one day enjoying life in perfect, sin-free bodies too. It's our new hope. Even in all the frustrations of life now, that by the Spirit, that is how we'll one day be. Let's pray. Father, we confess that so many of these words do stretch our minds. But we thank you that you do that. That you want us to understand things that are so important and so good, and that we would never have worked out on our own. We thank you for showing us that if we're in Christ, if we're trusting him, we are living a new life. Not according to the flesh, like we were, but according to the Spirit. We thank you for that wonderful thought that your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ himself, the Spirit who dwelt in the Lord Jesus and helped him, now lives in us to help us be more like him. Thank you for the way he changes what we care about. Our minds begin to be set on the things of the Spirit. We praise you for the way you're doing that. And please do it more. And we praise you too for this hope of resurrection from the dead one day. We thank you so much that just as you raised the Lord Jesus, you will raise us too into glorious, sin-filled, sin-free, sin-free bodies to share and enjoy that life that he is living now. Please, we pray, encourage us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Spirit of Christ who works in us, who changes our desires, also gives us a firm hope for the future. And we're going to sing of that hope now, that hope that sustains us even through the hardest times. We sing our final song.
Within my
me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in me, the pot yet dries all doubt away. I stand in Christ with sins forgiven, and Christ in me the hope of heaven. My highest calling and my deepest joy, to make His will my home. There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair. The grin the world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present suffering's future's fear, He whispers courage in my ear. For I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me of time, that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave, to see the matchless beauty of a day divine, when I behold His face. When sufferings cease and sorrows longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly whole. When suffering ceases and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly
I say thank you again for listening in. If you are part of the church family, let me encourage you to join us for a Zoom coffee, which we are having at 11:15 this morning. Or if you can't do that, why not be in touch with someone else from the church family today? A final prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for pointing us again to your grace and kindness to us in Jesus. Help us, by your Spirit's work in us, to trust and follow him, to love as you have loved us, and to hope in the future that you have promised. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.